Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all. Thanks for coming. Hope you're all feeling very at home today, enjoying a little bit of popcorn, no doubt, as well. So my name is Matthew, by the way. I'm the lead pastor here, so I want to welcome you. Hopefully you did manage to grab some popcorn on the way in. We're starting our God in the Movies series today. We'll run through for a few weeks through the summer, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Just wanted to mention, you know, if you're new and want to find out more about Cedar Ridge, please grab one of these. You probably received one when you came through the door. It's our community flyer. It comes out every couple of weeks. It's got lots of information in it about upcoming events. And also on the back page, you'll see a little section where you can fill out some details about, you know, your name, your contact details. Just tear that off. And then there's various places you can leave that. You can leave it out. There's the table out in the lobby with a little basket on it. You can just leave it there or put it in one of these wooden boxes at the near the back doors there, or at one of these side stations. You could just leave it, especially the front one would be a great place to leave it. We'd just love to know a little bit about you if you would like us to. And then we also do something called Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes, which is over in that corner of the room at the end of the service. We do it every week, just a few minutes to chat, come and meet us. We'd like to meet you, ask any questions you have, and we'll share a little bit about our church as well. So if you're new and want to find out more, please do take advantage of those opportunities. Really just got one announcement today, and that's about our farm. Our farm is, you know, thriving, lots of things growing out there, some really cool things which we're harvesting and giving away to people in need. Also one or two weeds, you know, which we need pulling up. So we just need lots of help out on the farm to keep it ticking over. As we say every week, you know, you can go out there anytime you want, okay? It's always open. The shed's open. You can go and get tools and look at the task list and go out and work on the farm anytime. But a couple of great opportunities are Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8. We'll always have leaders out there who'll be helping and directing you. So come out any Wednesday evening to help on the farm. And then also this coming Friday, we're going to have a farm sangria night where we'll work on the farm and then enjoy some liquid refreshment afterwards of your choice. Some sangria, if you like sangria, or we'll have other drinks as well. So that begins at 6 p.m. this coming Friday the 8th. Okay, so that'd be another great time to come out. Lots of other people will be there. It's a great social time as well. So do please remember those opportunities. Okay, we are going to pray now. So if you've got a cell phone, to be honest, the service today is probably going to be a little noisier than usual, but I would still recommend turning a cell phone off. We, by the way, have a wiggle room in room 202, so we're all ages together today. So everybody's welcome, and a little bit of noise is totally okay, totally normal. Don't worry about it. But you know, if you've got a young child with you who feels a little antsy, you can always sort of go out and entertain them in room 202. And there's a live feed through there as well, so you can watch the service from there too. Okay, but that's not an excuse to go out. You know, if you don't have kids, right? If you just want to get out, okay, it's for kids only. All right. Well, let's pray together. You know, we've had some more tragic violence this week, right? I mean, it just seems to be unending. There's the horrible bombing in Baghdad last night, earlier this week in Bangladesh, and you know, continued conflict going on around the world. So I'm just going to pray about that a little bit. We're not going to stand as we often do, but you know, just I'm going to leave a brief moment of silence at the beginning of my prayer. If you want to just silently pray about those situations, please take opportunity to do that. So let's just have just a moment of silence. Lord, we come to you, the giver of life and the bringer of peace. We come to you who are love. You are love. And so we come to a source. We come to the beginning. As we think about troubles around the world, as we think maybe about troubles even in our own lives, things that aren't working out, things that seem in conflict, stresses and strains, some of which probably pale into insignificance compared with what other people are going through, and yet to us right now, they're massive issues. So we come to you with all of those things. Lord, we pray for peace in our time, peace in our world. Lord, so many of these situations seem out of our control, beyond our control, and yet show us how we can contribute to peace and love and forgiveness rather than hatred. Lord, in all our own conflicts, in our, all our many different situations, Lord, we open our hearts to you now and invite you in. We ask that your love would prevail, that your forgiveness, if it's something, forgiveness that we need to experience or forgiveness we need to extend to somebody else, we pray that, Lord, that would be what triumphs. And in the spirit of the movie we're about to hear a little bit about and watch a little bit of, Finding Nemo, Lord, we pray that you would find us where we are right now. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want to grab a seat, if you just come in, please do that. As I mentioned, it's the first of our God in the Movies series, and we're going to be looking at the movie Finding Nemo, and the Mather family are going to come and talk to us a little bit about that. So let's give them all a round of applause.
Hello. Oh, it is working. Hi. So we're the Mathers, and we are very excited to share with you and slightly nervous, of course, as you can imagine. So we're hoping that everything goes really well, and then forgive us if it doesn't. If the movie clips don't go, then the Mathers have decided we're going to act out Finding Nemo for you, so be ready. Like Matthew said, it's an all-ages service together, so we know there's, like you said, we are totally comfortable with noise. We're a pretty noisy family and all over the place, too. If you have wiggly kids, that's fine. We actually brought over all the beanbags from the middle school, so if you have little ones or if you want to get a little bit more comfortable, we welcome you guys to come up front, grab beanbags. You can spread them out all over here if you want to, so don't be shy. Come on up if you want to. We'd love for you to bring your popcorn, dig into a beanbag, and get comfortable. Jermaine looks like he wants to get into a beanbag right now, I think. If you don't want to and you're comfortable in your seats, that's totally fine. There's a couple of things to do during the service, too. So while kids are coming up, and you guys can pull beanbags all up here. Yay. So while you're coming up, there's other things to do. So if you feel a little wiggly, or even if you're young at heart and feel a little wiggly yourselves, we brought fish today. So there's fish around the room. There's also some activity pages in the two tables on the side doors. There's shells to hold on to and feel. You can take them home with you. We've got plenty more shells back at our house. We'll be showing movie clips. We'll be interacting a little bit with the audience and then sharing a little bit about our lives. We wanted to let you know why we chose Finding Nemo. So we realized this is actually a pretty old movie. It came out in 2003. And so it's over 10 years old. For some of you, probably before you were born, it came out. But we picked it for a couple of reasons. It's awesome. Also because we think probably most of you have already seen it. And so you maybe have connected to it in some way. So then we think that our sharing will be hopefully relevant to you. Finding Dory is out now. Who's seen Finding Dory? I've heard it's pretty good. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's not as good as Finding Nemo, but pretty close. So we're going to be showing clips, like I said. We actually are not going to go in chronological order because we feel like most people have seen the movie. If you have not, we're going to be ruining the ending right in the beginning, so I'm really sorry for that. I'll put that disclaimer out for you. So that's why we picked it. We hope you enjoy it. We're looking at the title, Finding. So finding, a lot of times you think of if you're looking for something or you're finding something, you're looking for something that's lost. But we're talking about the word finding more like discovering something new. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what each character, not all the characters, but a couple of the characters found throughout the movie. There's quite a big transformation for particularly the two main characters, Marlin and Nemo. They kind of find something new about themselves kind of through the course of the movie. Will and I in particular are going to share a little bit about who we connected with most in the movie and kind of watched our how we relate to them. But I'm going to hand this over to Violet first. So she's going to talk to a couple of you guys, hopefully, if you're willing to do so. She's going to come up, tell a little bit about the movie just in case you haven't seen it, give a little introduction, and then she's going to come talk to a few of you about who you connect with the most. I'm going to lower this down. You want to come up? Come on up. I'll get this out of your way. And then you can turn your mic on. I'll turn myself off. So microphone check.
Hello, microphone. Yeah, there it goes.
Hi. For those of you who haven't seen the movie, let me give you a quick introduction, and I'll also remind you of the main characters. Finding Nemo is a great movie about a father and son who are separated from each other. Both of them go on an incredible adventure to be reunited by the end of the movie. Some of the movie is funny, some of it is scary, not too scary for the little kids, don't worry. Some of it is beautiful, some of it is dark, kind of like real life. Okay, The five main characters you'll probably recognize are, one, Nemo. He's a young, sassy, slightly rebellious, brave fish. Two, Marlin, Nemo's dad, persistent, protective, hesitant, but will do anything for his family. Three, Dory, friendly, outgoing. She's optimistic, goofy, a little forgetful. All right, really forgetful. Four, Gil, a leader, a planner, determined, goal-oriented, looking to help his tank buddies. And five, Crush, on the older side, mellow, wise, peaceful, and he goes with the flow. Or the EAC, if you get my drift. Get it? Ocean, current, drift. Okay, well, like my mom said, we, the Mathers, are going to talk a bit about which character we related to as we go through the service. But before the rest of my family gets up to talk, I want to see what you guys think. Who would be up for a quick interview? Raise your hands and we'll come to you with the mic and live feed. We'll take about 3 to 4 people. Which character are you most like and why? Which character are you most like and why?
Dory, because I am goofy and endlessly silly and I forget everything.
Well, that's almost all that Dory is. Anyone else? Which character are you most like and why?
I think that I most like Crush because I just sort of go with the flow.
You don't mean current, right? Right? Are there any boys who wants to answer the question? Oh, come on. Mark Hill. I am targeting you.
Like the turtle, but y'all won't believe that, even though I'm easygoing and go with the current. Am I not easygoing? Am I not easygoing?
No, you're not a turtle. Anybody else? A kid? Boy? No one? Another target. Which character are you most like?
The turtle.
Everyone's a turtle? Everyone's goofy?
Probably.
No one is Dory? Come on, only one person was Dory. Why are people so many turtles? Anyone who shared are extremely laid back. Now Will is going to tell us who he relates to the most and show a few fun movie clips. So sit back and enjoy your popcorn while I enjoy mine.
Okay. Hello. Okay, so I related to Nemo in this movie, and this is a scene early on in the movie that is one reason why.
Hey guys, wait up!
Whoa. What's that?
I know what that is. Oh, Sandy Plankin saw one. He said it was called a butt.
Wow, that's a pretty big butt.
Oh, look at me. I'm gonna go touch the butt.
Oh, yeah? Let's see you get closer.
Okay.
Beat that. Come on, Nemo. How far can you go?
My dad says it's not safe.
Nemo, no!
Dad?
Ugh, you're about to swim into open water.
No, I wasn't.
It's just a good
go
thing
up,
I was here.
Dad,
if I hadn't
no.
shown up,
sure,
I don't know.
He wasn't gonna go.
Yeah, he was too afraid.
No, I wasn't.
This does not concern you, kids. And you're lucky I don't tell your parents you were out there. You know you can't swim well.
I can swim fine, Dad, okay?
No, it's not okay. You shouldn't be anywhere near here. Okay, I was right. You know what? We'll start school in a year or two.
No, Dad! Just because you're scared of the ocean...
Clearly you're not ready, and you're not coming back until you are. You think you can do these things, but you just can't, Nemo!
I hate you.
There's nothing to see. Gather, over there. Excuse me, is there anything I can do? I am a scientist, sir. Is there any problem?
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt things. He isn't a good swimmer, and... I just think it's a little too soon for him to be out here unsupervised.
Well, I can assure you, he's quite safe with me.
Look, I'm sure he is. But you have a large class, and he can get lost, you know, from sight if you're not looking. Now, I'm not saying you're not looking.
Oh, my gosh! Nemo's swimming out the sea!
Nemo! What do you think you're doing? You're gonna get stuck out there, and I'm gonna have to get you before another fish does. Get back here! Get back here now! Stop! You take one more move, mister. Don't you dare! If you put one fin on that boat, are you listening to me? Don't touch the boat. Nemo!
He touched the butt.
Okay, so that was the scene I chose because sometimes I feel like I do things just because my parents tell you not to. And I assume lots of you have done that too. So now we're going to talk about Jesus. So we don't typically talk about Jesus when he was a teenager, but I bet he's done a few rebellious things like that. Here's a picture of a punked out Jesus. So that's probably not what he really looked like, but he did have a slightly rebellious side, like in Finding Nemo. Violet will read a scripture talking about that.
Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. When it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. The next day, they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." He said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here, dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them, and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly, deep within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people.
That was a scene that showed Jesus where he was kind of rebellious and ran off. So I'm not encouraging kids to go run off and by themselves without their parents. But there is a tension between independence and being with your family. The first scene we showed you, Nemo was scooped up after the scuba diver right after he didn't listen to his parents and added to a fish in the dentist's office. And that begins the dad's search for his son. It also takes time for Nemo to be braver than he's ever been before. Next movie.
Suivez-moi. Follow me. Proceed.
Nemo, newcomer of orange and white, you have been called forth to the summit of Mount Wanahakalugi to join with us in the fraternal bonds of tankhood.
Huh?
We want you in our club, kid.
Really?
If you are able to swim through the ring of fire! Turn on the ring of fire. The ring of fire. You said you could do it. The ring of fire!
Isn't there another way? He's just a boy!
From this moment on, you will now be known as Sharkbait.
Sharkbait! Ooh-ha-ha!
Welcome, brother Sharkbait.
Sharkbait! Ooh-ha-ha!
Enough with the Sharkbait.
Sharkbait! Ooh, bub, budu.
Okay, Sharkbait's one of us now. Agreed?
Agreed!
And we can't...
Alright, so this scene was later on in the movie. Nemo was feeling pretty alone in that new tank, but then he found new adults to comfort him. I'm in what my parents called a coming-of-age period as a new teenager. It can be tricky still wanting to be close to your parents, but also wanting to be independent. Over the last years, I've started expanding my support circles outside of my immediate family. I've experienced some cool relationships with adults, people at Cedar Ridge, at my school, in my neighborhood, and in our D group. For example, I was able to go to the Guatemala trip to Apollo last year. My dad was there. Even though he's pretty fun, I actually relied more heavily on other adults in the group. Some shout-outs to particular people, Derek Harworth, Dan Wendt, and Ariel Grant. Thanks for being there for me. I felt comfortable and easy to talk to you and help for, and friendship. Another example is I struggled a little bit in some classes at school, and I had an advisor slash counselor to reach out to help get back on track. It was hard work, and I realized I'm not going to need my parents' help to solve all my problems. Thanks for letting me share.
There it goes. That was very fun watching my kids share a little bit. I hope I do as well. So Will said that he related to Nemo. I actually related to Marlin most, and which is a little tricky because I actually don't like Marlin a lot for a lot of this movie, so it's a little funny that I relate to him, I think. But I've seen this movie about 10 times, and it came out around right when, a year after Will was born. And so when I related to Marlin in that sense, it was more as a parent really afraid that something terrible was going to happen to my kids. But then as we were asked to do, got in the movies, and we started thinking about Nemo, and I started thinking a little bit about how I related to Marlin, there were a couple other things that started to kind of come out. I'm going to show you another clip. So we're, like I said, we're going out of order. So Will showed a couple clips that were in more of the middle of the movie. I'm going to show you the very beginning of the movie and the very end. So Marlin, in the beginning of the movie, goes through kind of a big tragedy or crisis, and so we edited it a little bit so that it's not super scary. So we're going to show two clips back to back now.
So, Coral, when you said you wanted an ocean view, you didn't think you were going to get the whole ocean, did you? Huh? Oh, yeah. A fish can breathe out here. Did your man deliver, or did he deliver?
My man delivered.
It wasn't so easy.
Because a lot of other clownfish had their eyes on this place.
You better believe they did. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. You did good. And the neighborhood is awesome.
You do like it, don't you?
No. I do. I really do like it. But, Marlin, I know that the drop-off is desirable with the great schools and the amazing view and all that, but do we really need so much space?
Coral, honey, these are our kids we're talking about. They deserve the best. Look. They'll wake up, poke their little heads out, and they see a whale passing right by their bedroom window.
Shh, you're gonna wake the kids.
Oh, right. We'll name this half Marlin Jr., and then this half Coral Jr. Okay, we're done.
I like Nemo.
Nemo? Well, we'll name one Nemo, but I'd like most of them to be Marlin Jr.
Just think, in a couple of days, we're going to be parents.
Yeah.
I think we're showing another one back to back now.
Coral? I don't want to go to school. 5 more minutes.
No, you, Dad, me.
Okay.
Get up. Time for school.
All right, I'm up.
Boy, it's time for school. Whoa!
Nemo!
Where's
Nemo? Nemo, don't move. Don't move. You'll never get out of there yourself. I'll do it. All right, where's the brake? You feel a brake?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't tell because fluid is rushing into the area. Now, any rushing fluids?
No.
Are you woozy?
No.
How many stripes do I have?
I'm fine.
Answer the stripe question.
3.
No! See, something's wrong with you. I have 1, 2, 3. That's all I have? Oh, you're okay. How's the lucky fin?
Lucky.
Let's see. Are you sure you want to go to school this year? Because there's no problem if you don't. You can wait 5 or 6 years.
Come on, Dad. It's time for school.
Forgot to brush.
Oh.
Do you want this anemone to sting you?
Yes.
Brush.
Okay, I'm done.
You missed a spot.
Where?
There. All right, we're excited. First day of school, here we go. We're ready to learn, to get some knowledge. Now, what's the one thing we have to remember about the ocean?
It's not safe.
That's my boy. So, first, we check to see that the coast is clear. We go out and back in. And then we go out and back in. And then one more time, out and back in. And sometimes, if you want to do it four times...
Dad.
All right, come on, boy.
Okay, so we saw... So sorry we're going out of order. So we went back to the beginning of the movie. When Marlon is showing his wife's name, which... Or I don't remember the name of the mom. Coral, sorry. So I knew they would remember. So when in the beginning of the movie you see him, it feels like the world is kind of open and bright. You can see the colors of the movie are really bright, open with possibility. He looks out into the unknown and actually welcomes it. He talks about a whale swimming by. He is excited and eager, dreamy, and kind of the world is wide open. And then tragedy hits, and you can see the whole shift of the color change. And so we didn't show the tragedy. It was a barracuda that really wiped out his family. And it's actually a pretty scary part for me, too, as an adult. But tragedy hits, and then you see a shift in Marlon's personality, and he becomes, you know, his worldview changes drastically, and he becomes a little bit of a different person through the movie. And we start to see through the movie, and I'll talk a little bit about it, how it mirrors my life, too, where tragedy has hit. Your worldview is shaped a little bit differently or change, your behaviors change, and then kind of transforming back and kind of bringing you back to that person again who could see the world as wide open. So I'm not sure if that's been your experience, but that's been my experience. But I want to look over Marlon's kind of, I'm going to read them. The things that happen to Marlon in the movie are a little ridiculous, but it makes for really good dramatic cinema and a drastic storyline. So this is what happens to him. And it's a pretty lengthy list. He loses his wife. He loses almost all of his offspring. His remaining son is captured. His one ally, who is a great friend, Doreen, we'll see her in another clip, she has a significant number of limitations and sometimes gets him into some trouble. He is threatened by sharks. He faces a deep, dark abyss. He's chased by an anglerfish. He swims through a jellyfish swarm, thinks he's lost his friend in the midst of it, and he's swallowed by a whale and more. So that's why it's a pretty amazing adventure. I don't think my personal experiences totally mimic that, so I wouldn't say that my life would be a movie, but I think like a good book would probably be a good, I think I could get it into a novel or something. My list is not quite as extensive, but I've had a few bumps and bruises along the way. I had a pretty rough go through my childhood. My parents struggled a little bit with chemical dependence, and there was some abuse and mental illness issues. That dysfunction and trauma really shaped kind of my worldview as growing up as a kid. And then as a young adult, and even as a medium young adult, I still consider myself young, but there have been a couple of dings along the way and unexpected twists and turns in my life where I've experienced hurt and loss, and it has changed my worldview a little bit. And so with each kind of hurt or loss as it's kind of piled on, I feel like the light has dimmed in my worldview. So Marlon's response to loss, he has a couple of things he starts to do, and you see his character change even when he's talking to Nemo and getting ready for school, he is afraid. And so he lives a little bit with fear. That's kind of number one. He makes a lot of rules to try to help control the fear. He wants to avoid any risk. So you saw him in the beginning of the movie. He is a little more open to the outside world, but then he starts hiding in as an enemy. He pokes in, pokes back out. You see his eyes dart around looking for kind of what's happening next. And he's really trying to keep things under control, particularly his son Nemo, and keeping guarded. And so Marlon's, that was kind of his response. My responses to losses in life actually mimic Marlon's, and I think some people who know me well probably would not really consider me a guarded person. I feel like I try to be pretty out there and open, and I'm not really a regimented person either. I would say I try to be more like Crush, where I'm kind of all go with the flow. But if you really, really take a look at my personality, I'm not a rule follower either, actually. But if you take a look at my personality, I've come to mimic Marlon in one thing in particular. And we've talked about this before at Cedar Ridge, but I'm going to talk about fear. So I actually live with a lot of fear. And it affects the way I look at the world. It affects how I relate to people, actually. And it affects kind of some of my decisions. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But first, Violet's going to help me again. So if you're brave, I want to ask you a question, and adults can answer too. Can you tell us, Violet, if you go out into the audience, you can turn it on. Could you tell us something that you're afraid of? So you can raise your hand. That's all you have to say. No live feed. Your picture won't be on the screen. But if you could just raise your hand and tell us what you're afraid of, and Violet will come up. And if you're loud, you can yell it out. Go ahead, Sadie. If you're loud, you can yell it out, or if you can raise your hand, and Violet will see what you're afraid of. There's one right there in the front if you want to. Right there. Tell us what you're afraid of.
Not being accepted to Hogwarts.
Not being accepted to Hogwarts. That's a good one. There's a little one from here. I would be afraid of that, too. Right here. What are you afraid of?
Sharks.
Sharks? Is that what she said? Me too. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. There's one, and there's a grown-up in the back. Can you see her?
Yay, adults.
Losing my job.
Losing my job, yep. Stability. I've recently gone through a job loss, too. It's very, very shaking. I agree. There's some over there, and there's a couple more over here, and then we'll keep going.
Spiders.
Spiders are the worst. They're terrible, except they eat bugs, so we'll keep them, but they are scary. Anybody else? I see Rebecca. Oh, there's somebody in the back there, too. Bye. You see Rebecca? And if you want to, if Violet can't get to you and you're loud and bold, you can yell it out, too.
I can't.
Oh, there's Rebecca right there. You see her right in the purple beanbag? Right under next to the communion table? We'll take one or two more. What are you afraid of, Becca?
The dark and Voldemort.
The dark and Voldemort?
Of course.
Scary. Anybody? Oh, there's one more. We'll do one more. Right there. Oh, two more.
Getting lost.
What did you say? Getting lost? Oh, I agree. That is really scary.
Death Eater's coming to my house.
Death Eater's coming to your house? Hopefully it won't happen. I think there's a we should have picked Harry Potter, it looks like, I think. Okay, there's one more in the green. Okay, two more, and then we're done. I promise.
Daddy Long Legs.
Daddy Long Legs, in the spider family, I think, right? Agreed. Last one. Did you want to share? Go ahead.
Some of the scary people that live in this world.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes people can be pretty unpredictable. Thank you, Vi. Thanks for sharing. You can share. And Violet wanted to, now that she has a mic, I'm not going to be able to get it out of her hand. So she wants to share what she's afraid of.
Losing my popcorn.
Losing popcorn. Okay. So I have a couple of things I'm afraid of. Sharks is one of them. I read Jaws when I was a kid and then saw the movie, and it ruined it for me. But I'll tell you a little bit how I overcame that. I'm afraid of the dark, too. I'm afraid of heights. If anybody is afraid of heights out there, I feel you. I'm sorry. It's terrible. But more seriously, I am afraid of a number of things, too, that affect. So afraid of heights, I can avoid. Sharks, I can relatively avoid. The dark I can avoid, right? But there are some fears that actually I haven't been able to avoid, and so I'm having to work through them, and I'm going to give you my list. Losing people I love. I'm actually pretty afraid of the unknown, which is kind of hilarious because we never know what's coming next, but even though I know that, I still am pretty afraid of it, actually. I'm afraid of risk. On the surface, for those of you who know me in my D group, or if you're my neighbors here, or if we're friends, we've known each other for a while, I think people would say I'm pretty like light and bright. I'm outgoing, I think, I'm pretty friendly, I hope, to most people. And I try to be optimistic on the surface, but deeper down where things get kind of murky and like kind of the real parts of my personality, there's a number of things that I struggle with, and really with great fear. So fear of not being enough. I actually have a really crazy fear that I'm not lovable, and I don't know if any of you ever relate to that too. I don't trust that people would really like me. I fear that I'll be a failure. I've become a little bit like Marlin in that beginning where he pokes his head out and kind of looks all around. I've started, I think, because of my past and then a few things that have happened, some tragedies, I think I've, even though I really want to be more optimistic, I've kind of had a more pessimistic look on life. And I'm always kind of waiting for the rug to be pulled out from under me, which is a really dark and kind of heavy way to live. When fear takes over in my life, I have a tendency, like I said, to expect the worst. And living like that affects probably these people the most, unfortunately. So there's been times where I've been jealous of like Steve's coworkers, and it really has nothing to do with Steve, but it's because I'm afraid of losing him or afraid of losing what we have. I snap at my kids, not too often, I hope, but every once in a while I'll stop with my kids, and sometimes, like if we're out in a restaurant or something and I snap, it really has nothing to do with their behavior for the most part, because they're pretty good. But it's more I'm afraid that their behavior reflects on me and that I'm actually really not a good mom. And so some of the fear I have is leaking out into the world around me, and I'm starting to realize that as I'm growing, that it's affecting the people around me more than I would ever want it to, of course. When Marlon's living that way in the movie, I'm one of those people, when I'm watching a movie or watching TV, that I talk to the screen, which is pretty annoying to the guys behind me. But I want to yell at Marlon and say, like, let go and live free. Like, you have an adventure. Look at that amazing ocean. But he's in the midst of it. It's really hard to do that. And I think that's probably what Jesus wants to do to me most of the time. I had a conversation with a friend about a year ago, and it was after an experience where I had really felt I was feeling pretty insecure. And I think I'm a relatively functioning person on the outside, despite my past. But the friend pointed out to me that I was carrying a lot of baggage with me, and I had gotten used to carrying that baggage, and some of those hurts and fears were becoming heavier and heavier, and I was losing some of that lightness in my life. And what I thought was, of course, I know I have baggage, I know I have some things that have hurt, but I didn't think they were really affecting me. And the friend was kind enough to point out that actually maybe I was holding on to those things a little bit too tightly, and actually had gotten comfortable with that baggage and comfortable with some of my dysfunction, and was almost a little bit protective of it. And I didn't realize how slow I was moving under the weight of all of it, and how I really, my personality started changing. So I have a little example, but I need two strong kiddos to come up front. You guys, both of you guys in the back, you look pretty muscly. So this has a lot of glitter on it, so it's not super manly, but we're gonna go for it. And I'm going to have you put on these backpacks for me. And I think Brian did something like this not that long ago where he had a backpack on and showed kind of how heavy it is. But I'm going to load you up. Are you ready? Did you work out this week? Yeah? Okay. No? All right. This is going to be your workout. We're going to hang here. So you guys are going to be my example. And I'll tell you a little bit about what I'm going to put in these backpacks. So Steve's going to help me bring around a load. And we're going to name these and put them in. So this one I'm going to call fear. I'm going to put that in both of your backpacks, okay? Hopefully these backpacks will hold. So this is fear. This fear came out of my backyard. There you go. Hold on. You okay? Okay. Oh, here we get some more. All right. Because I got a lot. So this is loneliness, because I'm afraid of that. You okay? Okay. And this one is going to be insecurity. Are you okay? You got it? All right, the backpacks, we're going to load that. That one's done, but don't worry, I'm going to give you some to hold. All right, and then we're going to say this one is, let me look at my list. I've got a lot. I already did fear. We already said loneliness. We did insecurity. Let's do distrust. So, yeah, hold that one. There you go. I have a little bit of distrust in the world, so I'm going to give that to both of you. There you go. You okay? All right, I've got another one. So we're going to say this one is, Violet said maybe jealousy, so I'll put that, you okay? There you go, hold tight. You're just going to need to hold it for the rest of the time while I'm talking, okay? And then this one, we'll put this one over here. I will say this one is worry. There you go, you got it? You sure? Got it? Hold tight. I know, it's a lot. I needed two people to carry all of it. Last one, I'll just do this little one. We'll put this one as pain. You want to put it like on your head? Yeah. No, I'm not going to make you mouth it. I'll put it right here. All right, so how does it feel? You okay? You think you could like go to soccer practice with all of that on? No, what about swimming maybe? All right, you guys just keep holding that for a little while, and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to talk more. I'm going to have Violet come up for a second. She's going to read another. You guys okay? Hang tight with it, okay? I'm going to have her read for me for a little bit. We have a quick scripture. So can you see it? All right, Violet's going to read for me. Are you guys okay to hold it all? You good?
As soon as the meal was finished, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so that he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, suddenly bold, said, Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water. He said, Come ahead. Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus, but when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, Master, save me. Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, Faintheart, what got into you? The two of them climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, This is it. You are God's son for sure.
Thanks, bye. Okay, are you guys ready to put it down? Is it too heavy? Or do you want to keep holding it? You want to put it down? All right, we'll put them right here because we can use these later during communion. Sorry, I got your shirt a little messy, honey. I'm sorry. I'm going to take these. And you can leave the backpacks up here. We'll leave those rocks in for later. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, buddy. You okay? I'll hold on to it. I'll hold on to this one. So I'll keep this one on for a little bit. So it's way above my pay grade to try to do any really deep theological interpretation of that of that scripture. I'm not going to do any Latin or Greek or Hebrew translation like maybe Ruth or Matthew would. I'm not going to tell you that the faint of heart means another word in Hebrew or that a boat is a symbol back in that time. That's really, because I don't know all of that stuff. But I will say that I just want to tell you how I connect to that scripture and how I think it relates to me and how it relates to the movie. When I see it, when I read that passage, and I've read that many times before, I've kind of gone over it and not really looked at it as the miracle it really is. But I see somebody like just like myself who really is trying to live freely, but who gets paralyzed in the moment with fear. And I feel like that's happened to me pretty often. And if you can imagine, like if you saw the guys up front carrying this, like even now, just on one shoulder, just two rocks is heavy. And I feel like I know if there's been times in my life where I really wanted to leap out of the boat and be free from it, but I would sink like a rock, I think, because I'm really weighed down. I haven't really been able to let go. There's moments in my journey where I felt a little bit lighter, but I've noticed that as fear has kind of piled on, and you know, Steve and I and our family, we've taken some significant hits, and with each time we've had that hurt and loss, it's kind of piled on more, and I've responded very similarly to Marlon. I think I've become a little bit more guarded. I distrust the world a little bit. I think I've distanced myself from God a little bit and from faith, and it's been kind of a hard journey, actually. I've gotten comfortable, so even though I feel the weight now, I feel like I've gotten used to the baggage a little bit and become a little bit too comfortable with it. So I think, like I said before, I think if Jesus was watching my life, I think he would tell me to just let go and go be free and have some abandon. I want to abandon the baggage. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We can do that in communion. But I will share with you, I've never walked on water ever. I don't know if any of you have. But I have had a number of experiences where I've had that kind of letting go and I've connected with God kind of free of angst or worry of like whether I'm doing it right. And they've all related to water. So I've told my D group before a Niagara Falls experience. I had kind of a moment at the side of a lake in New York once. So they all kind of revolve around water. But one that I wanted to share with you guys is Steve and I had a chance, and we've talked about this a million times with our D group, I'm sorry. But Steve and I have had a chance to go to Croatia. We went about 3 or 4 years ago. We spent a month in Croatia. It was like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And on the last day that we were out on the island where we were staying with family, we're right on the Adriatic Sea, and it's beautiful. It's like the color of some of your guys' clothes, like bright, bright turquoise, the color of the movie. It looked just like that. And the kids and Steve, we were all swum out and kind of tired, and I decided I wanted one last time just by myself to go as far out as I possibly could. And I told you I was afraid of sharks, so that was huge for me to go swim out into open water. I swam as far as I could so I couldn't see anything in my periphery vision. I couldn't see any people, any boats. It was just me and God and the water. And I said a little prayer, which I don't, if you know me, I don't do that very often. And I kind of let things go. And there had been, I think after a month of vacation, it was actually, I had been able to unwind and let go of a number of things and really think through some things. And I kind of gave it to God. And then I did this thing, which I would never usually do because I think I'm too afraid of what it would look like. I'm kind of a bigger girl. I was in my bathing suit in front of a lot of people. I think I would have been afraid. But I was all by myself, kind of way out there. And I started diving. So the water there is really salty, and so I was able to tread water for like a half an hour or 45 minutes, which I don't think I would be able to do at our neighborhood pool. And I was staying out really buoyant, and I started doing these crazy flips and going down really, really deep and coming back up like a mermaid almost, and doing it again and again and again. I kept doing it, and I probably did it for 15 minutes, which felt like a lifetime. And I felt like with each time I went under the water, I was letting go of something else. It was almost like a prayer, and letting go of more worry, letting go of pain, letting go of some of the hurts. And it was a moment where I experienced abandon, which I don't think I get that very much. I think life is heavy. We're busy. There's a lot of times we don't get a chance to stop and let that go. And it was one of those moments I think I'll remember for the rest of my life where I was just able to kind of connect and be away from it all. It was pretty amazing, actually. I want to show you one more clip, and then I'm going to get ready to wrap up. Steve's going to come up and show another clip and move us into communion. But I wanted to show you this. So this is at the very, so like I said, I showed you the beginning of the movie and then the end. Marlon goes through all of that craziness, all of those hurts and pains and adventures. There's moments where he lets go and then pulls back again, and we'll see it again at the end. He goes through a pretty big transformation, and then I want to talk a little bit about that, and then I'll move on to let Steve get up here.
Time for school, time for school. Get up, let's go, let's go. I'm gonna win.
I did it.
Oh, my old son beats me.
I'm aboard, explorers.
So just then, the sea cucumber looks over the mollusk and says, with fronds like these, who needs anemones?
Well, hello, Nemo. Who's this?
Exchange student. I'm from the EAC, dude.
Sweet.
Totally.
But seriously, Marty, did you really do all the things you say you did?
Pardon me? Hello? Don't be alarmed.
We just wanted to make sure that our newest member got home safely.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week.
Keep up with the program, Dory.
Remember, fish are friends.
Not food. Bye.
Hold on. Here we go. Next up, knowledge.
Bye, son. Have fun.
Bye, Dad. Oh, Mr. Ray, wait. I forgot something. Dad.
I love you too, son.
Dad, you can let go now.
Sorry. Now go have an adventure.
Love that part. So that moment when Marlin holds on to Nemo and then kind of forgets to let go, I know he was sinking into it like a parent would sink into it, like you just don't want to let go. I feel that way with Will. Like he said, he's become a teenager, and I feel like we only have four or five more years before he's in college, which is, I can't even believe it. So there's moments where I hold on to him pretty tight. But I'm practicing that letting go, so that experiencing that abandon, that feeling I had when I dove under, and with each new time I was able to kind of let go a little bit more, I have to consciously do it. So just like Marlon, there's moments where I kind of squeeze and want to be safe. I feel a little bit more safe if I'm closed up tight, because it's pretty dangerous to let yourself be open. It's more vulnerable for sure. But I have to practice it. So things I'm practicing now are trust and vulnerability, openness, confidence, and love. And I wish it was as fast of a transformation as a 2-hour movie. So I wish it was bottled up tight and quick and I could just be done and transformed and not afraid, which is not the case now, but I'm slowly starting to shed that with this community, with leaning in more towards God. There have been moments, I don't get to the Adriatic Sea very often, so once every 10 years we go. And so I have moments where I'm able to shed that kind of heaviness, even if it's brief. And one of the ways that I've done it is, we've shared this before, there's that welcoming prayer, and if I have it on a little bookmark, we've done it before as a whole church. Steve and I printed out some, so at the two, and they'll tell you about it during communion, but at the two prayer stations in the back under the Grow banner and the Journey banner, we printed out that welcoming prayer. And if you're familiar with it, forgive me, we're not going to run through it together as a group. You can do it on your own if you'd like to, but it's a prayer where, pretty contemplative, where you welcome kind of some of those feelings. So if it's an experience or a situation you're in, or for me, more like kind of an ongoing thing, you welcome that which is kind of painful to do because it's a lot of times those feelings are not really the happiest, but you don't label them. You just welcome them and sit with them for a little bit, and then one by one going through the lines in the contemplative prayer, just slowly letting those go. And then at the end, I'll kind of sit and listen, and I hear, it's going to sound cheesy, but I do feel like I hear Jesus telling me, like, let go, live with some abandon, you're loved and free, and go have an adventure. So that was me, and I'm going to invite Steve now up to share a little bit more.
Thanks, Tinica. I got to see her notes before today, but I knew I was looking forward to having the opportunity to hear you share all that. Thank you for sharing all that, and thanks for Will and Violet for what you've shared. So sit back. I'm going to talk for another hour. No. Actually, there's one more scene we're going to look at, and I really wanted to make sure we didn't miss one of the perhaps most important scenes of the whole film. Right? We've talked a lot about Nemo and Marlin and all the different parts of the journey, but for people who watch the film just to enjoy the film, they don't want to miss this scene. So I didn't want to miss that scene either. This is going to be very close to the end. You guys know that Marlin and Nemo find each other again, right? We've already covered all of that. We're jumping all around throughout the story. So we're going to look at that, but I hope that you guys can look at it not just to see what happens, but look at what happens behind the story. Okay, so this is my little English teacher moment, and anybody can chime in here. Does anybody know what the word metaphor means? Real quick. Oh, here we go. Okay, standard textbook definition. Comparison, not using the word like or as. Very good. That's exactly right. Any other ways to describe that? Elliot. Okay, very well said. I'm going to repeat that. I don't know if everybody could get that. And I didn't get all of it, but to use words that don't mean exactly literally what they are saying. For example, if I said my dog Bazooka is a dog, that's not a comparison of two different things. But if I said Cedar Ridge is a farm, and I don't mean Cedar Ridge, the property has a farm. I mean we are growing, we are planting, we are weeding, we are a farm, a group of people like plants growing. That's a metaphor, right? Comparing two things that are not the same, and we don't want to use those two words for the simile, right? Those are boring comparisons. But in this scene, I think there's a huge metaphor. There's metaphors all throughout the film. So when we watch this part of the story, very close to the end, I'm going to ask you guys to look at it closely, and then I'm going to see if you guys pick out any metaphors in this part of the story. All right, here we are.
Hey, look out!
I'm sorry. Just trying to get home. Nemo?
Dad!
Nemo?
Dad! Nemo for what?
Dory? Nemo!
Dad!
Nemo! I'm coming, Nemo!
Dad!
Nemo!
Dad!
Oh, thank goodness. It's all right, son. It's going to be okay.
Okay.
Down! Swim down!
Nemo! Nemo? Nemo? It's okay. Daddy's here. Daddy's got you.
Daddy?
Oh, thank goodness.
Dad, I don't hate you.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm so sorry, Nemo. Hey, guess what?
What?
Sea turtles? Sandy Plankton? Do you think I would cross the entire ocean and not know as much as Sandy Plankton? He was 150, not 100. He was the Sandy Plankton that knows everything.
So on that note, I'm going to cut to the chase for sake of time. There's one metaphor in this scene. I'm sorry, I don't have time to hear your responses. That net that's holding all those fish together is the one thing that Nemo decides he will go back into, that whole net. You know, the net is to capture the fish, but... You remember early in the movie, what was the thing that separated Nemo from Marlin? Was a net that wouldn't, you know, the scuba diver scooped Nemo away. And it's really interesting how the filmmakers loop this story back to the beginning, where Nemo's telling his dad, and his dad has huge change of heart. Tinica talked about fear. It seems like Marlin's letting go of some of the fear. It's not that Nemo will definitely be safe, but he's embracing the moment and welcoming that opportunity for Nemo to try to save the friend who's stuck in that net. Anyway, I wish we had more time to go into some of these things, but we're going to move into communion now. I'm going to ask Violet to step up here. Here at Cedar Ridge, we have a lot of metaphors, right? Life is a journey. It doesn't just mean we're going from this building to our homes after this, but together as a community, we celebrate that. That's a very true metaphor. We're all on a path. We're on a journey through this amazing, bigger story that we would call an adventure. Our human storylines and overarching life narratives have been woven into a bigger love story. It's a great epic filled with highs and lows, love and pain, joy and sadness. Communion here is a time for us to connect to God in a way that people have been doing for a couple of thousand years. As we take communion together, we too enter into this big, beautiful story. We do this together as a community. Everyone here is welcome to participate.
During communion, there are a number of ways you can engage. You can sing, you can think about the movie, you can stand, you can kneel, you can take in bread and gluten-free bread and juice at the tables or from a communion server at the side doors. You can pray the welcoming prayer that my mom was talking about at the side tables in the back. Back or side tables?
Those two tables in the back there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right here.
You can hold a rock or one of the backpacks, feel the weight, and then let it go. You can visit the fish. One's over there, one's over there, one's over there. You can hug a friend. You can give a financial gift at the offering towers near the back doors.
So if you would please join me with me, and then you're invited to join in communion and worship. God, we thank you for the gift of this story, for the gift of this community. We pray that you would be here present with us as we step forward to commune with you and one another. Amen.